Kenzie Lambert here, your host for Mac and the Movies. Happy Halloween! I hope you're able to enjoy this day, whether it's trick-or-treating or enjoying some prime horror movies. I apologize for the grogginess of my voice. I caught a nasty bug and it knocked me out for the past week. I'm doing much better, at least enough so that I can record. As I stated last time, this episode will look at my favorite horror movie composer, Goblin. Because of copyright and fair use limitations, I won't be able to give you a sample of music from each album, but I will have both a Spotify and a YouTube playlist of some of their noted musical efforts. Links to those will be in the description below. There will be no post-amble this show. I just want it to be all about Goblin, but there will be a slight change in the topics for upcoming episodes. There's a lot to cover, so let's begin. Claudio Simonetti was born in February 19, 1952, in São Paulo, Brazil. He was the son of a composer. Simonetti's upbringing in Brazil influenced the sound of the band with their frequent incorporation of Ecuadorian percussion. He was one of the co-founders of the band Oliver, later renamed into Cherry Five, then they became Goblin. Unfortunately, I was unable to find much in the way of biographical information for the other core members of the band, they being Agostino Morangolo, Fabio Pignatelli, and Massimo Morante. In 1973, Claudio Simonetti, Massimo Morante, Fabio Pignatelli, and Walter Martino started out as a songwriting group. After a pilgrimage to England, they met with Eddie Offord, who was a producer at the time for bands such as Yes, Gentle Giant, and Emerson, Lake & Palmer. Simonetti and Morante were joined shortly by drummer Carlo Bordini, replacing Martino, and American vocalist Clive Haynes. The band in this form took the name of Oliver. Unfortunately, Offord would go on tour with Yes and couldn't spare the time for Oliver. Oliver returned to Italy and Haynes was replaced with vocalist Tony Tartarini. Thanks to Claudio's father, the band was signed to Cinevox Records. With Cinevox, the band released their first album, Cherry Five. Unbeknownst to the band at the time of the release, their name was changed to Cherry Five to coincide with the release of the album. The album itself was very much a progressive rock offering akin to their influences like Emerson, Lake & Palmer, Genesis, and King Crimson. During this period of time, Dario Argento was working on his film Profondo Rosso, aka Deep Red. He was having disagreements with film composer Giorgio Gasolini regarding the musical stylings for the film. Gasolini was opting for a conventional music score, while Argento wanted something dramatically different. How Cherry Five connected with Argento has been the subject of some controversy. There's one account, according to the liner notes put out by Cinevox for Goblin's releases. Story goes, one night at a Cherry Five performance, Argento's partner, Daria Nicolodi, was in attendance. She was impressed with the band's sound and told Argento to bring these guys in to do the music for Profondo Rosso. In the book, Scored to Death by J. Blake Fischera, Claudio Simonetti offers a different story. From Simonetti's recollection, Cinevox producer Carlo Bixio encouraged Argento to hire an Italian band instead of an English band. Bixio connected Argento with Cherry Five. Both parties hit it off, considering Argento was also a fan of progressive acts like Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and Mike Oldfield. The mention of Mike Oldfield is interesting. His theme for The Exorcist, Tubular Bells, shares a similar melody to that of Goblin's theme for Profondo Rosso. In an interview for the Anchor Bay release, Argento mentioned that John Carpenter's theme for Halloween was influenced by the theme for Profondo Rosso. I'm not saying they copied off one another, but it's interesting that these different artists came up with a familiar take on a themes movie theme song. Alright, let's get back on topic. When Gasolini left the production, there were still some of the film's main themes that need to be recorded. These themes consisted of the Mad Puppet, Death Dies, and the iconic main title theme music. Profondo Rosso centers on a jazz pianist who witnesses a murder. With the help of a plucky reporter, the pianist investigates the murder and tries to solve it himself. This also puts him squarely in the sights of the killer. David Hemmings and Dario Nicolodi star in the film. The 1975 release of the film and the soundtrack for Profondo Rosso were met with much acclaim and financial hit. In a supplemental interview for the DVD release from Anchor Bay in the early 2000s, Argento cites Profondo Rosso as his most successful film. The soundtrack was a gold record, staying on the charts for a whole year and selling a million copies. The following year, 1976, started the rocky state of the band in the wake of Profondo Rosso's success. On the plus side, keyboardist Maurizio Guarini was brought on board. First, they released a commercial album still under the name of Goblin. This would be the Roller album, another Genesis/Yes-style prog rock album. While the album wasn't anywhere near as successful as Profondo Rosso, the music found its way into films. For the Italian releases of George Romero's Martin and Richard Franklin's Patrick, some of Goblin's music from the Roller album would be used with a few exclusive pieces recorded. Second, they provided the music for the TV program Chi. Very little is known about the show save for Goblin's involvement. The show lasted only about a year. Third, Goblin would contribute music to the film Percy is Killed. The film was controversial in its depiction of drug use, yet the film's title was greatly misleading due to the fact that there is no character named Percy that gets killed in the film. To protect themselves from this controversial material, the band used the pseudonym of Il Real Impero Britannico. Interestingly enough, Fabio Frizzi collaborated with Goblin on this film and shared the Britannico pseudonym. Here's a film featuring two of the biggest names in Italian horror music composition. Frizzi would work frequently with Lucio Fulci for films like Zombie, City of the Living Dead, Contraband, and The Beyond. By 1978, the lack of success, post-Rosso, and internal tensions made for a riff in the band. Argento intervened and brought them in to do the music for what many consider to be his magnum opus, Suspiria. In Suspiria, an American girl enrolls in a prestigious dance school in Germany. While she is there, strange incidents occur. It turns out that the school might be a hideout for a coven of witches, under the leadership of Marcos. The work created by Goblin is amongst their best, from a creative and financial standpoint. With the witches' origins being in Greece, the band incorporated a bouzouki into the main theme. Adding to the exotic sound is a tabla drum. For the longest time, I wasn't aware of the plethora of tracks for the music score. In the American edits I viewed, the only tracks I've heard were the main theme, Witch, and Marcos. I didn't know about Black Forest and Blind Concert until I actually bought the score. The music works not only as a score, but just as an album as well. The way some of the tracks weave into one another is absolutely beautiful. This is as good a prog rock effort as maybe The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway by Genesis or Relayer by Yes. And which may still be one of the scariest pieces of music ever conceived. Following Suspiria, the band contributed to the films both horror and non-horror alike, even trying again with another prog rock commercial album. In 1977, Goblin provided a funk rock music score for Enzo G. Castellari's The Heroin Busters, a.k.a. La Via de la Droga. La Via de la Droga marks the first instance of Goblin providing music for a non-horror film and still keeping their name intact. The film focuses on an Interpol agent and an undercover policeman infiltrating a heroin smuggling network. Fabio Testi and David Hemmings provide the lead roles, respectively, while Joshua Sinclair and Romano Papo play the role as the bad guys. In 1978, the band tried their hand at a progressive rock concept album with Il Fantastico Viaggio del Bagazzoroso Mark. Andrea Cortese provides a basic story to the album. A bug named Mark lives in a wild and wonderful land of thousands of different colors and meets other funny creatures like himself. He is pictured as the eight-legged superhero of this world, a flying insect who takes risks and outstanding adventures. While the album didn't sell well at the time of its release, it has gone on to earn a cult following among fans and non-fans alike for the band. Some of the music would make its way for both the Italian releases of Patrick and Martin. The giallo film, Bloodstained Shadow, stands out as a rare instance of Goblin performing someone else's music compositions. Famed composer Stelvio Cipriani came up with the music for Goblin to play. Cipriani is a giant in the field of film score composing. Mario Bava's Bay of Blood, Stelvio Massi's Highway Racer, and Umberto Lenzi's Nightmare City are among some of his best long-lasting scores. Later that same year, Goblin was tasked by Argento to provide music for the anticipated follow-up to George A. Romero's Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, a.k.a. Zombie. Four survivors of the zombie apocalypse take refuge in a shopping mall. While at first resisting, they soon fall into the materialistic trappings of the place. They end up fortifying the mall until a vicious biker army sets their sights on the mall for their own personal needs. Originally, the band was brought in to provide the score for the European edit of the film under the supervision of Dario Argento. When Romero heard some of the tracks, he decided to include them for the theatrical edit of the film. The score for Dawn of the Dead doesn't feel like a cohesive unit, but a bunch of different, disjointed contributions. There's a silent movie attack piano piece. Zorrado Zoom is a Floydian rock track. Safari is exactly what it says it is. The track Le Alba de Morte Viviente is among their best. '79 marked the end of the classic lineup of Goblin. After Squadra Anti-Gangster and Amo Non Amo, Simonetti and Morante left the group. Both would work on other film scores as solo efforts. Simonetti's solo scores include Lucio Fulci's Conquest, Castellari's Warriors of the Wasteland, Lamberto Bava's Demons, Ruggero Diodato's Cut and Run, and Umberto Lenzi's Nightmare Beach. Pignatelli, Marangolo, and Guarini would continue with the Goblin name. The films this group would work on were a far cry from the quality films of previous years. They contributed original music to Patrick. They provided a score for Joe D'Amato's Buio Omega, a.k.a. Beyond the Darkness. The film focused on a taxidermist whose love dies suddenly. Obsessed with keeping her around, he digs her up and takes her back to his work area. He preserves her body, all while murdering people who know about her. Kieran Cantor, Cinzia Monreal, and Franco Stappi star. Despite the grisly subject matter, Goblin gives a disco-heavy score. However, the score does yield one of the most beautiful pieces in the entire career of Goblin, whether it's a lineup with Simonetti or without Simonetti. Quiet Drops. Thank you. Goblin followed up Booyah Omega with Luigi Cozzi's Alien Contamination. Bizarre pods are found on a sea vessel. The crew were mysteriously killed. Turns out the pods can actually make people explode. With the help of an astronaut who reportedly found similar pods on Mars, the authorities hope to contain the pods before they can be used to destroy humanity. Goblin mixes rock with gothic horror and a few synth pieces to give Alien Contamination a dramatically different sound from Booyah Omega. Tracks like Flood and Withy set the atmosphere. Connection takes Goblin back to their Profundo Rosso roots with the prominence of the organ-sounding synthesizers. Alien Contamination also marks a bit of confusion and controversy. Confusion is due to the soundtrack album containing tracks from Booyah Omega. According to the liner notes by Cinevox, the Booyah Omega tracks were used as temp music and would later be replaced for the final cut of the film, but when the film was released, the temp tracks were still used in the film. I've seen Alien Contamination on 3 or 4 occasions, and I've never heard any of the Booyah Omega tracks. I took this inquiry to Chris Alexander, the editor of Delirium and Fangoria. He agreed in that he's never seen a cut of Contamination using Booyah Omega's music, even though the band's lineup was the same for both films. Now let's discuss the controversy. The Goblin scores for Dawn of the Dead, Booyah Omega, and Alien Contamination were appropriated by director Bruno Mattei for his zombie film, Hell of the Living Dead. This is in addition to Mattei taking music from the Louis Bacalov score for Blood and Diamonds, a crime thriller starring Martin Balsam. Mattei was able to access the scores for his film thanks to his relationship with Cinevox producer Carlo Bixio. Through this avenue, Mattei didn't need the permission of the band to use their music. Goblin hated the fact that Mattei used their music not only for Hell of the Living Dead, but for the subsequent film by Mattei, The Other Hell. That said, adding Goblin's music to these films makes them all the more watchable. Mattei's films were ridiculously entertaining to begin with, but Goblin's music adds a lot to the spirit and tone of the film. Mattei's use of Goblin really isn't that far removed from Tarantino using the music of Ennio Morricone or Luis Bacalov in his films. Both Tarantino and Mattei knew the kind of music they wanted for their films, and they knew that nothing else could satisfy them for their respective projects. At this point, I need to call out DRG Records. They released a series of compilations starting in 1995 of Goblin's music. These collections were actually my introduction to Goblin when I first started listening to them in the early noughts, which was around the time when I really got into Dario Argento and Lucio Fulci. In Volume 1, they write that Goblin provided music for the film Night of the Zombies, some of which would later be used in the similarly titled Dawn of the Dead. Basically, they're accusing George A. Romero of ripping off Bruno Mattei.
You're putting me on.
DRG, get your facts straight, you doppuses. 1981 brought another rarity for Goblin. The film was St. Helens, an HBO-produced, made-for-cable film about the 1980 eruption that took place in Washington State. What makes the score rare is that, according to Maurizio Guarini, Goblin composed the score, but an orchestra performed it. 1982 gave fans a 3/4 reunion of the classic Goblin lineup for Dario Argento's violent giallo, Tenebre. Simonetti, Pignatelli, and Morante handled their respective instruments of keyboard, bass, and guitar. A drum machine was used in place of Agostino Morangolo, with former drummer Walter Martino returning to provide percussion. Tenebre centers on novelist Peter Neal, who is on tour to promote his new book. He receives an ominous letter warning of killings in the future. Once the killings begin, the victims are found with pages of Neal's new book shoved in their mouths. The music score of the film is noted for its electronic disco theme. In 1983, the lineup of Walter Martino, Maurizio Guarini, Fabio Pignatelli, and Antonio Morangolo provided the score for the Italian miniseries Notturno. Two MI6 agents have kidnapped the daughter of Jurek Rudinsky. They want him to assassinate a KGB official. Rudinsky is an expert sharpshooter and gifted with natural night vision. Be careful when trying to locate a copy of this film for purchasing. If you come across a 90-minute or 112-minute version, do not buy that version of the film. I repeat, do not buy it. Those versions of the film were cut down from the original 7-hour miniseries. Cutting that much of the film has made it essentially incoherent to watch and to understand what's going on. The full-length version is available online at a few indie retailers. The best one I can find is cultaction.com, has the full miniseries with English dub and Japanese subtitles for about $25. That's your best bet. The full miniseries is also on YouTube, but unfortunately it's only the Italian language edit. Not only is this one of Goblin's best non-horror scores, but it's Goblin doing a James Bond music score. It doesn't get any cooler than that. Phenomena and 1989's The Church do have Goblin listed as composing the music. However, this is kind of misleading. For Phenomena, the only members of Goblin involved were Pignatelli and Simonetti. Other musicians that contributed to that score included Bill Wyman of the Rolling Stones and composer Simon Boswell. Other music utilized for that film included the likes of Iron Maiden and Motorhead. The Church only featured Fabio Pignatelli using the Goblin name. Also providing music on that film was Philip Glass, Simon Boswell, and Keith Emerson. In 2000, Dario Argento was working on his first giallo film in decades with Non Ho Sonno, a.k.a. Sleepless. The news that the classic Goblin lineup of Simonetti, Marangolo, Morante, and Pignatelli would reunite for the score was met with much excitement. The score was a mix of rock and some of the prog elements akin to Suspiria. For Simonetti, this was a less than enjoyable time. In his words, "Sincerely, I can tell you that the reunion of Sleepless was a bad nightmare for me. It seemed to me that we have returned back to 25 years. Same problems, same disagreements, like teenagers. I don't want any more bad experiences like that." In the decade and a half after Sleepless, there was no shortage of iterations of Goblin. In 2005, there was Back to the Goblin, which consisted of core members, but with keyboardist Aidan Zammit, substituting for Simonetti. They put out an album of the same name in 2006. This version of the band lasted till about 2009. In 2012, there was The Goblin Keys. Simonetti and Guarini were joined by guitarist Chris Gartner and drummer Bob Scott. This was a one-off convention appearance in April of that year. 2013 saw the new Goblin lineup touring under the original name of Goblin, with Simonetti, Guarini, Morante, along with members of Simonetti's side group, Demonia, drummer Tita Tani, and bassist Bruno Previtali. In the near four-decade history of the band at the time, this was the first time the group actually toured North America. When I saw the tour dates and locations and saw that they were playing in Toronto, I knew I had to see them. This was an opportunity I couldn't miss. The venue was the Toronto Opera House, which was a beautiful Gothic setting appropriate for the band. The opening act, Secret Chiefs 3, were great in their own right. Their Dream Theater caliber covers of the theme for Halloween and a surf rock arrangement to Sam Leavitt's theme for Exodus. Overall, an amazing once-in-a-lifetime concert experience. There was also Goblin Rebirth, Goblin Four of a Kind, Claudio Simonetti's Goblin, and even a reunion for Cherry Five. If you factor all of the bands linked to Goblin, including the Cherry Five reunion, you have a total of 24 musicians associated with the band at one time or another. That's 9 guitarists, 6 drummers, 5 keyboardists, 4 bass players, 3 vocalists, a saxophone player, and a violinist. They were literally the Yes of Italy. What will be their legacy? What will Goblin likely be remembered for? I think they'll be known for providing some of the best music to ever grace a horror film. Their work for Profondo Rosso and Suspiria should be mentioned in the same breath as classic horror scores like Bernard Herrmann's Psycho, John Carpenter's Halloween, John Williams' Jaws, Fabio Frizzi's City of the Living Dead, all classic scores. If you ever see Goblin in any of their forms listed as playing near you or within driving distance, go see them. You will have an awesome time. Previously, I noted that the episode for November 16th would be underrated and forgotten comedies. During some post-recording conversation I had with James Hancock of Wrong Reel, we talked about the sad state of contemporary comedy. We shared some comedy titles we loved from decades ago. We listed some comedies that we want people to see. We realized that this might actually be a topic that we want to explore together on another episode of Wrong Reel in the near future. So I decided to put that one on the back burner, and I'm probably not going to do the episode of underrated or forgotten comedies. If you want to check out our discussion on Bruno Mattei with me and James Hancock for Wrong Reel, you can go ahead and check it out. It's wrongreel.com. That's wrong, W-R-O-N-G, reel as in film reel, R-E-E-L.com. And it's episode 427. And so now on November 16th, the new topic of that episode will be the films of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Get ready to raise some hell. The remainder of the schedule is still the same. November 30th will be an episode on select films of Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill. December 14th will be the innovative movies of the zombie subgenre. Around December 24th, I'll be doing a top 10 countdown of my favorite films for Meg and the Movies and some alternative Christmas selections for those who are sick and tired of having 24 hours of a Christmas story or having to repeatedly sit through It's a Wonderful Life. And that's it for this episode of Megan the Movies. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy this content, feel free to follow the show on the platform of your choice, whether it's iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, or Spotify. I'm on social media. Links to my Facebook and Twitter are in the description. If you would like to see this program grow, feel free to be a regular donor for my Patreon or a one-time donation through PayPal. Next time, on November 16th, it will be Stone Cold Cinema and the films of Steve Austin. Until then, this is Mackenzie Lambert with Mac and the Movies. Take care, everyone.